Tonight we are going to be once again in the book of Psalms, number 119, and our verses tonight will be verses 97 through 104. So little by little we are making our way through this psalm, 97 through 104. You remember a couple of weeks ago we reached the bottom of the psalm, where we've been looking at the life of the psalmist, and he had reached rock bottom. He crashed, but he was still alive and still looking forward to the Word of God, and so we're on our upswing now. And so as we begin tonight, we're going to be looking at the Word of God as our instructor. And beginning in verse 97, we read, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do praise you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for this tremendous psalm, and we thank you for these that are with us this evening. We pray for those, Father, who are working, those that are busy, those that are traveling. Lord, we pray that you would watch over and protect the church body here. And God, we just ask that you would, as we plumb the depths of this 8-verse section, Father, we just pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding. I pray that your Spirit would guide me in the words that I speak and how to say it. We thank you for the opportunity to learn and to be a part of a study of the tremendous Word of God, and we just give you all the praise tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, we are going to once again be looking at the Word of God, talking about the Word of God, and we find that in this section that the psalmist is going to be referring to the Word of God as our instructor, as our teacher. And he begins with a statement. He says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." We have said before that some words get used so often that they lose their meaning. And we have mentioned the word awesome, how everything's awesome. From an ice cream cone to some earth-shattering thing, it's awesome. Well, the word love is used much the same way. And of course, we all know the different aspects of love, the agape love and the phileo love and all of that that's in the Greek. But here, there's a statement made, and it is used so often that we sometimes forget the extent of what is actually being said. "Oh, how love I thy law." We use the word love, and we use it in so many different ways. For instance, we talk about ice cream. How many of you love ice cream? Sure. If anybody says, "Do you like ice cream?" "Oh, I love ice cream." But how many eat ice cream? Huh? And you know what happens? Some people say, "Well, yeah, I love ice cream, but I'm trying to watch my weight, so I don't eat it very often." Isn't that what we say? "I love pizza. Oh, I just don't eat it very often. Got to watch my weight." And when we talk like that, everybody understands what we're saying. But if I came to you and I said, "You know, I love my wife, but I just can't live with her. We get along really a lot better. She's moved back with her parents, and I'm going to live with mine." And you'd think, boy, that's a strange relationship. Well, it is strange, but it's not strange like that. But you would think that's just kind of a little bit off the wall. That's not right. Yet, if you talk to Christians, And you say, or you come to somebody and you say, are you a Christian? Yes. Oh, I love the Lord. I love my church. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I go to Weston when I go. When I go to Weston. And, well, what book are you studying in the Bible? Well, right now, I haven't really been reading it much because I've been busy, awful busy. You see, what we've done is we've taken the context of love according to the world, and we've brought it into the church, and we use it in the context of the Word of God and God Himself. What, when we're talking about love of ice cream, what we're talking about is, you know, we can take it or we can leave it. We love it when we eat it, but really we know that a lot of it's not good, so we just kind of stay away from it. So we can take it or we can leave it. In the same context, when we talk about love within the confines of the church, and we talk about love concerning God, and we talk about love in the Word of God, you can't take it or leave it. You can't. And yet, most people who call themselves Christians tonight think you can. And you can't. If you truly love God, then God becomes the center of your life. If you truly love the Word of God, then naturally you're going to read it. And if you truly love the church, you're going to want to be a part of it. So, let me ask you something. When this gentleman writes, "Oh, how love I thy law," do you think that he meant it? Well, of course he meant it. If he didn't mean it, God wouldn't have included it, would he? And how could you write a psalm like 119 that's completely and totally about the Word of God if you didn't love the Word of God? It would be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it? That would be like somebody tearing a car completely apart and rebuilding it if he hated mechanics. He wouldn't even think of it. And so, we have this statement that begins this section in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. And he meant it. He meant it. He goes on to say, for thy testimonies are my meditation. When you read the Word of God and when you spend a lot of time in church, it's funny how you'll be talking to somebody and they'll say something. And the first thing, before you even realize what you've done, a verse of Scripture comes to mind or some statement that you heard in church or some teaching, it automatically you will associate with that conversation or you will associate with a problem that that person's having or with the problems that you're having. You can always find something in the Word of God that will encourage you, no matter what you're going through. And so when he says here that he loves the Word of God and he meditates all the day on it, it simply means that no matter what conversation he's having or what job he's doing, there's always something about that job or something in that conversation or something that he's discussing with others that remind him of something that he's learned in the Word of God. And that's the way we all should be as we grow old and as we mature in the things of the Lord. We should have a background of knowledge that we can use and that's at our disposal, not only to use in our own lives, but to help others that are going through problems. And so he speaks of the fact that he loves the law of God, and he meditates on the law all day. Then in verse 98, it says, thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Through thy commandments, you have made me wiser than my enemies. Now, in verse 97, he talks about the law, and in verse 98, he talks about the commandments. And combined in those two things, the law and the commandments, we have those things that we are to do and those things that we are not to do. And so we have an outline in the law and in the commandments of what God's expectations are of His children. And through that knowledge, through the law and through the commandments, the psalmist says, I am wiser than my enemies. Now think about that. Do you realize that if you're a Christian tonight, you are, and you have asked for forgiveness of your sin, you have been forgiven and been baptized in the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, into the family of God, you are a very small percentage of the world's population. And yet, the Bible says that that very small percentage of the world's population are much wiser than all of the other people upon the face of the earth. You may not have ever looked at yourself and thought, boy, I'm a smart cookie. I'm a wise man. I'm a wise woman. But if you have surrendered to Jesus Christ, you are a very small percentage of some of the most wise people on the face of the earth. So don't ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, boy, what an idiot. Because you're not. You are a part of the family of God, and you are wise beyond your years simply because you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You are wiser than your enemies. I was looking for statistics today, and I was kind of surprised that according to statistics, better than 30% of the world's population claims to be Christian. Almost one-third of the world's population claims that they are Christians. 21% of the world's population are followers of Islam. About 32 to 33% of the world's population claim that they are Christian. But when you go into that, you discover that that includes all denominations and all people who claim they are Christians. And so you begin to eliminate those who teach that salvation is by works, and salvation is by baptism, or salvation is by church membership. And you get down to those who believe in the blood of Jesus Christ as the only way of atonement. When you get to that place, out of that 33% of the world's population, which equals about 2 billion people, about 2 billion people today claim to be Christians. You eliminate all of those 2 billion that would not place their salvation squarely upon the blood of Christ. And do you know how many you've got left? Between 1 and 200 million worldwide. That figures up to between 6 and 7% of all the population on the face of the earth. Between 6 and 7% of the world's population tonight, with all of the billions of people that are on the face of the earth, only between 6 and 7% believe that salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are a very small group. And yet in the midst of that very small group, the Word of God says you are the wisest on the planet. Not because of any great doctrines or great education that you have received. That has nothing to do with it. The wisdom comes from understanding who God is, of knowing God. And with that knowledge and with that relationship comes a tremendous amount of wisdom. That it's not all about us. It's not all about what we want. It's what God has planned. And so we have this wonderful truth here. Thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Psalm 119, verse 98. And then we come to the conclusion that truth always baffles and defeats a lie. All of the enemies that this psalmist had, he doesn't say that he was wiser than most of them. He says he was wiser than my enemies. All of them. Because he had a wisdom that far excelled their wisdom. The world's wisdom is based on philosophy, it's based on what society says, it's based on science, it's based on what men know and what men have proven or what men believe. But A Christian's knowledge is based upon what God knows and what God says and what God has created and what God has promised. There's a huge difference. Because we're not dealing with something that can change tomorrow, like the science and the philosophies and the society of man. We're talking about something that has been steadfast from the moment that man was brought onto the face of this earth and will continue through eternity. So it is a completely different wisdom. In verse 99 it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. We begin to look at this and we see some of the statements that the psalmist makes here, and it would be very easy to say, you know, this guy is pretty sure of himself. He seems to be making some statements here. He's smarter than all of his enemies. Now he's smarter than all of his teachers. And if you go down to the next one, you find out he says he knows more than the ancients. So what, this guy full of himself or what? But actually, if we look at it, how it's written and what he's saying, it has an entirely different meaning. He says he's wiser than the enemies, not because of his wisdom, but because of God's wisdom. And in verse 99, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And he has discovered something that is very wise and is something that you and I need to understand tonight above all else. He was smarter than his teachers. And what he meant by that statement was that he had something far greater than a man teaching him. And if we would just stop and realize what the psalmist is saying here tonight, we have the greatest teacher for the Word of God. And he is not in the pulpit. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And God has sent the Comforter, and in this Comforter is all of the wisdom of God. And he allows you and I not only to read the Word of God, but to have an understanding of it. And the more we study, the more is revealed to us. The great truths of the Word of God are revealed to us through, not through man, but through the Spirit of God. And I don't care who the man is, how charismatic he is, how clever he is with words, how commanding he is in the pulpit. He can preach until his tongue falls off. But if the Spirit of God doesn't move the heart of a man, he can do nothing. Our revelation, our understanding of the Word of God, all of it comes from the Spirit of God. And he understood that. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, because I have God Almighty revealing to me God's Word. You can't do any better than that. So many people within the context of the church today, and it goes all the way back. It's not just today. We can go back to what Paul wrote. He said, when he was addressing the church, he said, look, some of you say, well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas. You see, all the way back then, people wanted to follow men. They always looked up to a man, and they chased that man. Paul said, I don't want any part of this. I'm so glad that I didn't baptize any of you but Gaius. He said, listen, you need to follow Christ. He's the one who died for you. It was his blood that was shed that saved your soul. You don't need to be following men. You need to follow the Word. And so when he makes this comment here, that's what he's talking about. I don't care what denomination within the confines of Christianity today you go to, you talk to. Sooner or later, you come to the conclusion that people there follow, they all have a leader. They all have somebody within their denomination or somebody on the scene that everybody looks up to. And there's literally millions of people in North America who look up to Rick Warren. Whatever Rick Warren says, that's the gospel. Others will say, no, Benny Hinn. Whatever Benny Hinn says, that's the gospel. And then in evangelical circles, they'll say, no, it's John MacArthur Jr. Whatever John MacArthur Jr. says, that's the gospel. Every one of those men are just men. I would much prefer John MacArthur out of any of them. But I will tell you this. John MacArthur is just a man. And he can't begin to compete with God. The Spirit of God is our teacher. And it is the Spirit of God that opens the Scriptures to us. It's the Spirit of God who has the greatest amount of invested in us. We're His. Jesus Christ has put the Spirit of God in each of His children. We've been sealed by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the greatest asset we have as long as we're on this earth. And we need to understand that. There are some wonderful biblical teachers out there. And it's great to take what they have, and the knowledge that they have, and the way that they can express it. It's wonderful, but listen, none of them, and all of them put together, can't begin to touch the Spirit of God. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Then he goes on in verse 100 to say, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Once again, we see this statement about the ancients. And the first thing we think about is, well, is he talking about the men of old? Some of the old, the great teachers of old. Is he talking about, for you and I, would he be talking about the apostles? Of course, if he can't be talking about the apostles, they haven't come to the scene yet, right? This is Old Testament. So what's he talking about? What he's talking about is that he was looking at the tragedy of his day. Whether this was David or Jeremiah or whoever it was, he was looking around them and he was looking at the older men in the nation. And he came to the conclusion that these people who should have been leaders and these people who should be walking with God and should be setting an example for all of the young people in the nation of Israel had compromised their faith and they were not being faithful to the Word of God. And therefore, he said, my understanding is far greater than those of the ancients because they have compromised and they have walked away from the truth. And so the whole nation is staggering. Instead of moving in a steady direction, walking with God, they're staggering back and forth, away from the will of God, out of the will of God. He said, it's really sad to look around me and to see all of these older men that should be a tremendous example to the youth, leading them astray instead of leading them into the arms of God. And we can look into the church today, and I don't care what church it is, you can just look into any church and you'll see the same thing. Men who should be leading an example before this flock of God, drifting in and out, they can take God or they can leave it. They can take the church, they can leave it. They can take the Word of God or they can leave it. And it's leaving scars upon the body of Christ. You'd almost think that this gentleman was living today, wouldn't you? I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. He said, it's one thing to know the Word of God, it's another thing to live the Word of God. So, he's talking about all of his understanding and about how he loves the Word of God and how he understands more than the teachers, he understands more than the ancients, and now he says, you know what, all that teaching and all that knowledge, it's time for me to put what I know into practice. And so I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. It's not enough to know. Knowing is one thing. Living it and having a testimony before the world is another entirely. The church, a church can have the finest teaching. A church can have a great amount of wisdom. It can have tremendous preaching and teaching, and it can have a service every day of the week. And people can come and they can fill up on all of that teaching and they can become just filled with all of this knowledge. But if they refuse to follow what they know and if they will not walk according to the precepts of God and if they make a mockery out of what they know by the life that they choose to live, it's done for nothing. And it brings a blight upon the church instead of a blessing. He said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments. for thou hast taught me. Sometimes some of the hardest lessons we learn at the expense of God's judgment. We wander away, we decide that we're going to do something when we know that the Word of God tells us we should not. And before long, God's knocking on the door. We find ourselves in big trouble. And we go through some severe trials, and before it's all over with, we're on our knees crying out, God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. But in those moments, we gather great wisdom. Because we realize, first of all, we cannot sin and get away with it. There is going to come a day of judgment. And in those little pockets of our lives where we realize these things and where God comes in and He shows us these little, at these times of rebellion in our lives, we see a great picture of that great day when every one of us will stand in final judgment before God. And can you imagine what it would be like to stand in final judgment before God if God did not correct us from time to time during our life? I would much rather that God corrected me 100 times in this life than for me to carry all of that baggage to the throne of God and have to deal with it then. God's forgiveness is very, very good. God is a wonderful God. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We, not only should we love the Word of God, we should tell everybody we come to the Word of God. There's nothing that's comparable to the Word of God. It is, stop and think about it. When we have a baby, when a little one comes into our household, we can't wait for the first time that that baby looks at us and says, Mama or Dada. That's a precious moment in the life of that child, isn't it? Well, when you become a child of God, there's one word. When you come to Christ and you cry out for salvation, there's one word that God utters that you will never forget. And that word, forgotten. I forgive you. Can you imagine? God has forgiven you. It is that very moment that you become a child of the King. Words. The Word, how sweet the Word of God is. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now when he says every false way, that's because there are literally millions of false ways. Satan has clouded the horizon with so many different storms that men find it very difficult to find the truth. There's only one way, one true way, one way based and predicated upon truth. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Yet Satan has put forth thousands upon thousands upon thousands of different religions and different cults and different theologies and different ideas about God, and there is so much confusion. The Bible says that Satan is the author of confusion. And he is. And there will be many a man who has tried to cheat God, who's wound up cheating himself. Because he followed a lie and rejected the truth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Don't ever get comfortable with the idea that it's all right for this group, it's all right for that group to deny the blood of Christ. They're good people and they love the Lord. So we should accept them. We should just open our doors. We need to dumb down the church just a little bit so that we can get more people to have an understanding of the love of God. No. There is one way. And every other way is a false way, and we are to hate those false ways. Because every one of them will lead an innocent soul to hell. You can't love a lie. Satan is the father of lies. If you truly love God, you love the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but you have to love the truth. It's the only thing that can save your soul. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do praise and we thank you for this tremendous book and the wonderful truths that you reveal to us. And as we look at the psalmist, as we understand the instruction of the Word of God gives us and the importance of recognizing that instruction and holding it true and not to compromise it, Father, we just pray that you would bless us. Father, we pray that you would bless the time of prayer now as we get ready to go and to bow before you and to bring our petitions. Father, we pray that you would just search our hearts and, Lord, that you would answer according to your will. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.